The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and Verizon.
A special good evening to you. It is another edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Zach Zaidman, joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer, as well as former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. We're scheduled to be joined in just a little bit by Bears general manager Ryan Pace. It is a big week at Halas Hall. Tom, take us through what it's like for the rookies. They begin mini camp tomorrow, but they've already been at Halas Hall all week, getting themselves used to what it's like to be a professional football player.
Yeah, but, you know, but it's different, Zach. When you go to your locker and you start adding equipment into the mix, you know, you're out of the classroom, you're out of the measuring tape, you're out of trying to run the fastest 40 or lift the most weight you can to make sure that you impress the scouts so they make a decision for you. Now that decision has been made, now it's up to you in order to put everything into motion. Make sure you're still diligent about your classroom work so you understand your assignments and what's expected of you mentally. Make sure you still continue on the fitness and the nutrition end because you have to grow. You have to start, you know, cultivating the potential in which these scouts saw in you to make sure every time you go on the field, you do make an improvement in some area, some way, shape, or form. So, you know, it's really getting ready to get underway in everything you prepared for up until this point in your football life. Because every time you go on the field at this point, you're going to start seeing the best players you've ever seen in your life. And that's a big hurdle to overcome, to make sure that you go out there and gain the confidence to make you believe that you fit and you can earn a spot on this team.
Jim, do you remember your first rookie minicamp?
Oh, absolutely. Drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers and went down there. Ron Earhart, he's a legendary offensive coordinator in the NFL. And, you know, he did everything on the board. Had to copy the plays down, go out on the field, and you know, you're kind of in charge of it. And, you know, your head is swimming because everything is more. It's just more. You know, I didn't even take a shotgun snap when I was at Michigan State. My first day at the Steelers, I'm doing that. We're executing plays out there on the field. Certainly the approach to rookie minicamps is much different now. I think everybody's aware of the Dante Fowler injury last year by Jacksonville. And you got to remember, these guys now are so, you know, they train specifically for certain drills. The 40, the vertical jump, all those type of things for the combine and their personal workouts. And I just think coaches and organizations now understand that these players really haven't played football in 3 months. They really want to get them acclimated before they're out there full speed and you have a torn ACL or anything like that. So it's more classroom work, more getting them integrated to how the organization is going to approach things, learn your teammates, learn people within the organization, all the staffs that you're going to be working with, i.e. the training staff, the equipment staff, everybody in upstairs at Halas Hall. And there's just a much different approach than what there was back when I came out or when Tom came out, where you were thrown on the field right away and going full speed.
It's interesting because for the longest time, what the Bears used to do is they would hold the mini camp the weekend directly after the NFL draft,
right,
get the rookies on the field, and then incorporate them on the field and throughout the facility with the veterans. The Bears doing it a little bit differently this time around, having the rookies mix in with the veterans and finishing the week with rookie minicamp. And joining us right now on the phone line is the Bears general manager, Ryan Pace. And Ryan, hello. Welcome to Bears All Access. And I guess we'll start out with that. It is a new wave in the NFL in terms of incorporating rookies into the mix. You guys tweak things a little bit, having them at the facility leading up to the rookie minicamp. Can you take us through the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me on, guys. It's there's an advantage because we're able to get them here, you know, for a week and kind of get them acclimated with our strength and conditioning program and kind of slowly bring them in instead of hitting the ground full speed on that first weekend after the draft.
Hey, Ryan, I would like to ask about your experience in your second year, because we often talk about how an offense starts to slow down for a quarterback in his second season. But for you, you know, you come in here the first year and you have so many jobs that you have to get into line. Now it's your second time around. Did it speed up for you or did it slow down for you in the whole process of the second year from the start of the off season to the draft?
You know, it's definitely slowed down. Just having guys you're familiar with around you and guys you're comfortable with. And, you know, last year, not only are you, you know, evaluating players and trying to build the roster, you're evaluating the whole building and all the employees and making a lot of new hires. So this year, this draft was very comfortable, very smooth, and I think that just, you know, comes with having guys around you that you're comfortable with.
Well, just from last year's draft, I mean, Kevin White, height, speed, weight guy, talented wide receiver. Eddie Goldman was a big guy as well. And it seems like this year you mixed in a little bit of both. Leonard Floyd, his trait is speed. And then I look at other guys you drafted. It's the more you can do, they can help the Chicago Bears in more areas. Did you have an approach? What is the approach that you can inform the Chicago Bears fans about, Ryan?
You know, we were taking, you know, like we always do, we're taking best player available, but it really came down to, at the end of the day, we took a lot of guys that were versatile. I mean, you look at Cody Whitehair,
yeah,
played multiple positions. You know, Bullard moved all along the defensive line of Florida. The secondary players that we drafted, a lot of them are corner safeties. So there's a lot of versatility with this draft class, and, you know, it gets us excited. You know, Leonard Floyd, it's just, you know, a guy right out the gate that, you know, improves our pass rush and brings a lot of the things that we are looking for as we go into year two.
Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller visiting with Bears general manager Ryan Pace here on Bears All Access. So speaking of Leonard Floyd, are you close to getting a deal done with him? When do you anticipate that happening?
You know, you see more and more of these top 10 picks coming in as we speak. I know myself and Joey Lane have been working hard on it. So, you know, I don't think it'll be very long. You know, he's here, he's working, and, you know, I don't anticipate that dragging out too much longer.
You know, Ryan, when you have your undrafted college free agents, every year there's going to be a star or a starter that comes out of that group. And when you read the profiles of the players that you're bringing in as undrafted free agents, there's some guys that have put up some really respectful to very good numbers. What is your goal out of the undrafted free agency class after all the hours you invest in just in the drafted class?
You know, it's an exciting time. It's a fun time for our scouts after the draft. And there's, you know, we signed 11 college free agents, and, you know, there's a handful that we have draftable grades on. And a lot of those came at positions of need for us, which, you know, I think it helps when you're on the phone, you're talking to the agent, you're able to kind of sell the depth chart. And you're telling the agent, don't worry about the money in this instance, worry about the depth chart. And so we got some guys we're excited about. We got some guys we know that are hard workers and that are good special teams players, you know, which is key for those positions. And we can give examples going back to last year and, you know, myself in New Orleans and John in Denver of a lot of guys that came in the league at college free agents and made the team. So we tell the guys all the time, it doesn't matter how you came in, it matters what you do once you get here.
Well, like most things, there's other parts of the organization that are ongoing, and that's typically what happens after drafts. Front office moves in terms of scouts and the scouting department, and I know Joe Douglas was there shortly, but he moves on, and you know, maybe just talk about that shakeup. This is nothing unordinary. It typically happens in the NFL under a new organization or new regimes, like a new general manager, new head coach. Maybe touch on that, Ryan.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, you know, it's a testament to, you know, hopefully hiring good people. You know, when you hire good people and they do a good job, you know, you're going to lose some people. And I think, you know, we got talented people behind them to step up. And I'm excited about Mark Sadowski. You know, he's definitely earned the opportunity, and he's done a great job for us. And if you really look at him, he was covering the whole southern portion of the country for us. So he covered a strong area. But I'm happy for Joe Douglas. You know, he gets a big promotion and gets to go back home, and it's well-deserved for him as well. So we're fired up going forward. I know it's always good to promote from within. I think it's good for the morale of the building, and it's good for our scouting department.
Visiting with Bears general manager Ryan Pace on Bears All Access, it's almost as though you add two first-round picks this year. You have one in Leonard Floyd on defense, Kevin White on offense, because he's finally going to be able to play. Can you give us, from a scout's eye, the reason why you believe he can be elite at this stage of his life?
Kevin White?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you watch Kevin, I mean, obviously he's got elite speed, but you watch him get in and out of his breaks, and you just watch him now over the last couple of weeks. I mean, he's 100% full speed, and he's got great acceleration off the line. He's got great leaping ability to go attack the ball, and all the things we saw in college. But in addition to that, He's an outstanding worker. He's just got a great personality. He's just kind of infectious to be around. And, you know, I couldn't be more proud of the way he approached his rehab and, you know, how hard he's working now and the chemistry he already has with Jay Cutler and our other receivers. And it's exciting to see. And we're all just pumped up going forward. It is like having another first-round pick this year.
You know, Ryan, you talk about promoting from within and you upgrade the Dow Loggins to the offensive coordinator. But I thought the cherry on top of the whole draft was the signing of Brian Hoyer, because I think you bring a lot of mature stability to the whole locker room, to the quarterback room in this offense going forward. So how did you set your sights on Hoyer, and then how did the opportunity present itself?
You know, when he became available, you know, we were excited, obviously, from the tape work we'd done. But in addition, you know, Dow had been with him in Cleveland, and Dave Ragone has history with him. So we had a lot of background with the player, which really helps in your decision process. And, you know, as you know, he's got a lot of skins on the wall, and he's been a productive player when he's played. His touchdown-interception ratio was very strong last year. And it's just a great guy to add to the room. I mean, those guys are always together 24/7 watching tape, and so him and Jay have already hit it off. So, you know, it's good to see him out there practicing. I think, you know, competition throughout the roster is critical, and especially at the quarterback position too. So it's good, and, you know, he's a pro, and we're glad to have him on board.
Well, Ryan, since you touched on the versatility of the players like Jonathan Bullard or say DeAndre Hall out of Northern Iowa, how is the approach with the conversations with you and John Fox, where we know these players can play at different positions? How do you not overload them early or put too much on them and get them specifically at one position where you feel comfortable, you know, not overloading them at another position if you throw too much at them?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, we talked a lot about it before they get here, and it's been talked about through the draft process. And I think it comes, you know, with our scouts and our coaches being on the same page. We've worked hard to do that. There's a lot of cohesiveness between the personnel department and the coaching department. So when these guys come in here, there's no confusion. We know exactly where they're going to start off, exactly what the progression is going to be. And our coaches do a great job of acclimating them into our system. So, you know, it's very clear, you know, DeAndre Hall, for example, is going to start off the corner, and Houston Carson and Bush are going to start off at safety, and we'll work from there. But it's the veteran players do a good job of helping these guys out, but our coaches are outstanding at kind of bringing them into our system.
Our guest on Bears All Access is Bears General Manager Ryan Pace. What's the latest on Alshon Jeffrey's status, and is there a possibility that this could be his last year with the Bears?
You know, I talked to him and his agent, you know, a lot. You know, Tory Andy's kind of taken over at his agent recently, and he's down in Miami training. I know he's working hard. He's a pro. You know, this is voluntary, as you guys know, so that's kind of on him right now. But we're in communication. I just think, you know, we just take it day by day and step by step. And, you know, a lot of the guys that are underneath the franchise tag haven't reported to their team, so it's kind of par for the course right now. But we're working through it. I don't want to come to any conclusions right now. It's kind of a day-by-day process.
You know, Ryan, last year at training camp, I loved watching offensive line coach Dave Magazoo have every guy play every position because it increases their versatility. But a couple of young guys that I'm interested in coming into camp is going to be Teo Fabaluje and Hronis Grasu. Have you been able to see them after this after the off season, and have they invested more time in the weight room to gain the NFL strength you need to go out there and be an every play competitor?
Exactly, Tom. You know, they're both a little different. You know, Grasu, we're adding a little weight to him, and he's getting stronger, and he's working hard. And Tayo, you know, we're working on his conditioning, and he's a big man. So, you know, we're keeping him in good shape. And, you know, that's always, you know, a work in progress with both those guys. But, you know, we're optimistic. You know, with the guys, we added some guys also in addition, as you said, are versatile. Ted Larson's a versatile player. Obviously, Cody Whitehair's a versatile player, and so is Ramirez. So there's a lot of versatility in the O-line group, and you're right, Mags does a great job of kind of moving those guys around. And then finding the best five at the end of the day is going to be the goal. But both those guys, Grasu and Fabaluje, are young players that just need to continue to work hard.
Last one for me, Ryan. And just in terms of the schedule, rookie minicamp this weekend that you just mentioned, but everything that's going on behind the scenes as you continue to build towards training camp in the 2016 NFL season, whether it's OTAs, the next minicamp, maybe touch on it from your perspective and give the Bears fans a little insight of everything that's just ongoing, because it never stops in the NFL.
it never stops. You know, we have our rookie mini camp this weekend, and then we'll kind of mix quickly into the OTAs starting next week, and we'll, the rookies and the vets will come together, and OTAs will continue all the way through mid-June, and then we'll have our veteran mini camp, you know, June 13th through the 16th, and then they'll get some time off, but, you know, it really never stops. And you know, we talk about that all the time from a player acquisition mode, too. We're always looking at other rosters. We're always looking at transactions and, you know, possibilities of claiming players or trading players. So it's a never-ending process, and that's why we love it.
Ryan, we'll get you out on this. What's been the toughest decision that you've had to make since the season ended?
You know, a lot of these, when we're moving on from some veteran players, those are always really tough decisions, you know, and you always try to step back and think to yourself, okay, what's best for the Bears organization, you know, and try to take out emotions. But being honest with you, you know, that's hard sometimes, you know, because, you know, we've got a lot of great guys on this team and a lot of guys you get emotionally attached to. But at the end of the day, you know, you're looking at the talent on the roster and always trying to improve our talent. So those are hard, hard decisions. I don't think that'll ever change. And you just got to, you know, have conviction in what you see and what you believe in and make decisions and don't look back.
When the 2016 Bears take the field, what kind of a team are fans going to see this year?
You know, we continue to talk about building a tough, gritty, competitive team, plays with passion, plays with a lot of football intelligence. And I think we've added that throughout the roster. You know, we still got work to do, but John and I are excited about the guys we've added in free agency and through the draft. You know, there's a lot of common traits with these players, and we're going to be a physical team. And I'm excited to see it this weekend to get these rookies in here and then continue into the offseason, the OTAs. So it's an exciting time of year.
Ryan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Ryan Pace, the Bears general manager. A lot there to digest. We'll do that with Tom and Jim and your phone calls. 312-644-6767. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago. Visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. And this week on Inside the Bears, Zach Miller and Adrian Amos are honored by the Bears with the Brian Piccolo Award. Jeff Joniak visits with Jeremy Langford and Staley. I don't know if you guys have seen this. You must have, because the video has gone viral, Tom and Jim. It's gone viral. So Staley, they did this great little practical joke where they've got Staley, the mascot, catching unsuspecting people off guard in a very unique way. Basically, they prank kids in a giant claw machine. So Staley kind of lays there with the other stuffed animals, and then the claw starts moving, and then all of a sudden Staley jumps up, and they've got the hidden camera. The kids are going crazy. So they put a little bit of it on social media. It's gone viral. The full version can be seen on Inside the Bears. Again, brought to you by Jimmy John's, Saturdays at 6 p.m. on My50 Chicago, Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago, and you can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com anytime. So Tom Thayer is here. So's Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin. Bears All Access rolls on. We just visited with Bears general manager Ryan Pace. Jim, what stood out to you from listening to him kind of break it down?
Yeah, I think one that the Bears drafted what he feels are all tough guys. And we broke this down earlier. I think, you know, Floyd's got the trait of speed, not saying that he's not a tough guy. But when you look at the other guys, they're all tough players, tough-minded, worker bee type of players. And I think versatility, meaning the more you can do. In order to build the back end of your roster, you're going to need sometimes some players to play out of position, i.e. like what the Bears did last year for Kyle Long. That's how you're going to take steps forward. I also think Tom asked a great question about undrafted college free agents. If you go look at the Seattle Seahawks roster, out of their 90-man roster, do you know how many are undrafted free agents? 54. 54. They have only two first-rounders on that roster right now, and they were in the playoffs last year. So that you do have to hit. John Fox did it out in Denver in terms of some players that were undrafted that got on the field and played, and I think you can see that starting to get infused with the Chicago Bears as well. Last year was the base. Now they're starting to really fill out the roster.
Before we get to the defensive side of the ball, on the offensive side of the ball, Tom, you talked about the competition on the offensive line. What did you hear from Ryan Pace that kind of – struck a nerve with you?
Well, I think you understand he did draft quality players in Hronis Grassou and Teo Fabaluje, but they also have to go through the growth process. And as we've seen, there's nothing guaranteed on this football team according to where you were drafted. It is about the best possible players lining up out there on week one of the regular season in the competitive process of training camp. So, you know, Manny Ramirez, Larson, Cody Whitehair, all these guys, their names are in the mix as much as a couple guys that have already been here. And I think offensive line coach Dave Magazoo is very fair in his approach because he gives every one of these guys to play multiple positions. So if you are a strength at one position, but you can go out there and help your team survive if in a moment's notice to slide across the line of scrimmage and continue to play at a high level, you know, that's what's going to be the key to offensive line success, is whether you've been here already or you're a new guy coming in here to compete. So that's what I liked about Ryan Pace, is you do have five guys that are going to take the first snap, but you have guys waiting in the wings that have the same competitive fire that if you don't have competition, you're going to relax a little bit. So I think the competition is going to upgrade the competitiveness again of training camp.
And in Brian Hoyer, the new backup quarterback, I think Jay Cutler has a reassuring voice and mind inside the quarterback's room. And when I say reassuring, he knows that that guy isn't trying to take his job, that he understands his role, Brian Hoyer does, but he also has the experience of working alongside Dowell Loggins from their days in Cleveland, and he can see things maybe that Cutler won't be able to see in the heat of the moment during a game. But the thing that stands out to me, and maybe Jim, you can expand on this, you know, the Bears decided not to draft a quarterback this year, and I'm not saying that quarterback would have played this year, but when you look at the future, and you have to when you consider that Cutler is in his 30s, where is that quarterback of the future going to come from? And when, if you're Ryan Pace, do you decide to make that a priority going forward?
Yeah, well, I mean, other teams, it's a priority, but they haven't addressed it either. You know, you think of teams like Cleveland that passed over an opportunity for a franchise guy, and I think they're being true to their word. They were very happy with how Jay Cutler performed last year, and there are other areas of the team that are bigger need. And if you were to draft a young quarterback right now and Jay Cutler were to go down and all of a sudden fails, or that young quarterback is thrown onto the field, that would somewhat be disastrous. I'm with you. They want to still cultivate the position. Maybe that guy is fails that they're trying to cultivate. But just knowing Brian Hoyer the way I do, calling Michigan State Radio, he is the ultimate team guy. He is a pro's pro. He comes with a lot of experience, and that's what Ryan Pace has talked about, and John Fox, the ability to compete. If Jay Cutler were to go down, Brian Hoyer has won games in the National Football League. Don't just go off of the playoff game that he had the turnovers last year against the Kansas City Chiefs. He almost took Cleveland to the playoffs, and he probably would have if they would have kept him on the field rather than turn it to Johnny Manziel. And even last year, Brian Hoyer had somewhat the rug ripped out from under him. He's named the starting quarterback, and then he's immediately benched for Ryan Mallett, which ended up being a disaster. Hard for Brian Hoyer to have trust in his head coach when he's already benched him down the stretch. So I think the Bears got a fantastic pro who can come in a moment's notice and win a game because he's a pro and he's prepared himself and he's already won in the National Football League.
You know, Jim, experience at the quarterback position spills over to the whole football team, because during my generation, Phil Simms gets hurt and Jeff Hostetler comes in. The Giants don't skip a beat and they go all the way to the Super Bowl. I think when you have a quarterback that's waiting in the wings, that's a professional, that's a veteran, if worst-case scenario happens to your team at the quarterback position, I don't think you lose any confidence. I think they have a guy believing that whether you're playing any team in the division or outside the division, your second quarterback's going to come in here and be a competitive starter. And that's what you need. And like you mentioned, if you did go out and draft a quarterback, you weren't going to be able to have any experience at that position waiting in the wings for that worst-case scenario. So I like what they were able to do, and I like the fact that when the first team is out there with Jay Cutler, they have a quality quarterback. When the second group of guys that are out there and you have some guys that need quality quarterback play because their development and practice is really important, you got Brian Hoyer taking snaps. And I do think he has the ability to make the rest of the team better, whether he's going against the defense or trying to help a young offensive player earn his stripes.
312-644-6767, the phone number here on Bears All Access. Tom, there was a move that was kind of under the radar that the Bears have made this offseason. They had a defensive lineman by the name of Greg Scruggs, who they've now moved to the offensive side of the ball, and they're trying him out at tight end. We haven't seen a guy successfully do this with the Bears since Rashid Davis was a corner and then flipped over to a wide receiver, and he played both sides, but primarily on special teams.
Well, you know, Zach, Mark Bortz was an all-Big Ten defensive tackle at Iowa, and he came over and he switched to the offensive guard position. And there's a lot of differences between those two positions. And so if you have the size, you have the athleticism, you have the commitment, it can be done. And sometimes you allow a player that may not be on a competitive caliber of a defensive player, but if you put him over to the offensive side of the ball, he has all the traits that you're searching for. So I love a guy that is willing to live through some of the most difficult of circumstances to continue the process of earning an opportunity in the NFL. And Mark Bortz went on to be a multi-time Pro Bowler, a legitimate NFL leader and veteran in the locker room. And so if a guy is willing to take advantage of an opportunity rather than not getting an opportunity at all, I like to see it, and I wish the best for him.
Zach, how about Big Cat Williams? Yeah. Was I'm in Cheney State, comes in, plays tackle for 12 years for the Chicago Bears. How about, remember Dustin Lineman? He was converted him to tight end. He was a linebacker in college at Wake Forest. And how about Jerry Azuma, running back in college? He ends up flipping over to a defensive back. If you got the athletic traits and you've got the speed, and you know, they're going to find a position for you. It's just how hard you're willing to work to really get the techniques down. And there are plenty of examples that players have done.
You know, how many question marks were there? And so many people had their views where Brian Urlacher should play when he first got here. And all of a sudden, you play safety, you play outside linebacker, inside, maybe defensive line.
Yep.
But when they finally settled on a position, they really, you know, cultivated a guy who's ultimately going to be in the Hall of Fame.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. Your call's next. Also, we'll flip it around, talk a little bit about the Bears' defense. I thought Ryan Pace had some interesting things to say earlier this hour in regards to what the Bears are going to be doing in the secondary. We'll discuss next. Tom Thayer is here. So is Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and more. Tom Thayer's here. So is Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Feel free to call and ask your questions in regards to the Bears. From a defensive standpoint, when we spoke with Ryan Pace earlier this hour, Tom, I thought one of the more interesting things that he had to say is that he is prepared to go into it with the rookies at safety. Adrian Amos, obviously the second-year player at strong safety, but you know there's going to be a competition, including Deion Bush, the fourth-rounder, playing the safety position. You have Harold Jones-Quarte from last year, but a lot of inexperience at one of the more important positions that you have in the league.
Yeah, but you know, you upgrade your experience in the front seven. You know, whether it, you know, have bringing in Danny Trevathan and the other linebacker,
Jarrell Freeman.
Yes, and you know, having defensive line help and being more aggressive. I really don't think John Fox, Vic Fangio, and Ryan Pace are afraid of playing rookies. They want to play the best player that they see go through the training camp paces and into the preseason games. We saw him make that trade in the very first preseason game to Adrian Amos. So to me, that makes me excited to be a rookie coming in here with the Bears, knowing that if I give the effort that's expected of me, I can come in here and earn a starting position. And it's not going to be gifted to anybody. It's only going to be because they've earned it. And I think that's a positive for the Bears, because then they understand the potential and the upside of these young guys. And you would hope to think that Adrian Amos would come in here looking like a seasoned veteran, and really he's in the second year of his professional career. So, you know, and that's the same for Kyle Fuller and whoever, you know, all the competitive quarterbacks on this team. There's big expectations here, and hopefully it's going to start with the front seven and trickle backwards to the defensive backfield.
Jim, we heard the word physical. When I asked Ryan Pace what kind of a team does he expect to have on the field in 2016, he said a very physical team. So from a football standpoint, when we're watching the Bears next year, what's going to be the difference from last year to this upcoming season when you hear the GM of the Bears use the word physical and seeing a more physical team out there?
Well, yeah, not only from the weight room, from the strength standpoint, but just the effort out there on the field. Are you willing to give it up for your teammates in this organization? That needs to be a mindset that we're physically every week going to be a tougher team than our opponent. Because if you line up and play every snap like that, by the fourth quarter, your opponent is beaten mentally, where they just say, here these guys come again. Here they come again. And if you show that same mental fortitude every single play, I can tell you from personal experience, it gets in your opponent's head. You know, and I just think, you know, you do have to have guys that have a tough mental mindset to be able to do that. And, you know, that's the type of you know, atmosphere John Fox is trying to cultivate. It needs to be known that, you know, when you walk in that building or anytime you step on the field with your cleats, that there's a brand of football that we expect here. And that needs to be ingrained into everybody. And certain organizations around the National Football League do it better than the others. And just to piggyback off what Tom said, that's why I brought up to Seattle. And Tom brought up the competition aspect of it, that everybody, you know, there are no, you know, players that, you know, can just say, hey, oh, yeah, this position's mine, other than probably Jay Cutler and certain select guys on the Bears roster. But if players know that they have a legit opportunity to compete and get on the field, that's why the Doug Baldwins of the world, who are an undrafted free agent, are now starters in Seattle. Or Jermaine Kearse. I mean, those guys were college free agents that are starters on the Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl team. And so when Tom mentions competition, every player walks in that building every day in Seattle, and that's the kind of attitude they're creating in Chicago, that there are no favorites here. I have an opportunity every time I go to work that I can become a starter on this football team. So who's ever ahead of me, look out, because I'm coming, and I'm coming to take your job. That's how you create a tough-minded football team that better be ready to play on Sunday.
You know, Zach, you know, too, as Jim also, is you can't lose sight of the special teams because, you know, last year when the team started out, they really went through a rough road with the returns for touchdowns. And I think when they closed out the season, you know, they had issues because they had so many interchangeable bodies throughout the season. And then you go, you have no continuity. You don't have that consistent core of players that are going out there every game, because I do think that the Bears, they need to become more competitive on special teams that computes to the Bears winning football games. And so every one of these guys that have their sights set on someday earning a starting position in the NFL, they have a great chance here with the Chicago Bears to be an immediate contributor on special teams. And if special teams coordinator Jeff Rogers, if they catch his attention and they know that they can come out here and be that fourth phase special team player, and they start upgrading the special teams in the league standings, that's going to contribute to this football team being better. And I think that every one of these young guys coming in, when Ryan talks about the speed they have and the athleticism and the ability to be tough, well, they're going to get opportunities on every one of these kickoff coverages, punt coverages, and every one of the special teams they have.
Hey, they drafted a guy in DeAndre Houston Carson who had 9 blocked kicks as a special teamer in college. Would have had more likely, but he actually broke his wrist at one point blocking a punt. I mean, that's the kind of attitude that they're bringing in to special teams. We spoke with Nick Kwiatkowski, the linebacker out of West Virginia, last week. He talked about how he knows in order to make this team and have an impact early, he's got to be a performer on special teams. They brought in Omar Bolden from Denver, who was a special teamer of high energy when he worked with John Fox and Jeff Rogers, the special teams coordinator. So they've clearly tried to upgrade that entire unit this offseason. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access. Troy in Lake in the Hills, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
So I had a couple questions about the linebackers. It seems like we brought in quite a few linebackers through the free agency and the draft this year. And my first question is, switching from a 4-3 to a 3-4, how many linebackers do they normally keep on their 52-man roster? And second question is, with all the new guys we brought in, are we gonna see any players from the past this year?
Man, you know, the first thing you want to do is you want to try to bring in competition that, you know, is out there that relieves a lot of guys of their jobs. And you've seen the linebackers that they brought in, and they've been able to, you know, send Shay McClellan to the Patriots. But, you know, when you talk about the linebacker position, I think that's when you get the core group of your guys on special teams. So if you have, you know, the first four guys that are going to play out there, then you have one guy at each position behind them. You know, you're talking eight linebackers. However, if you get that one guy that his specialty is the way that he can dominate on every phase of special teams, that may upgrade his chances, you know, his opportunity. So I do think that specifically around the entire defense, all four linebacker positions, that's something you do look to upgrade. Great. You get a healthier year out of Pernell McPhee. You have great competition between Willie Young and Leonard Floyd. So I do think you're going to see a positive spin on the linebacker position this year.
We got to take another time out. When we come back, more with Jim Miller and Tom Thayer. Zach Sabin with you on Bears All Access. Your phone calls also at 312-644-6767 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Finish at Soldier Field when you participate in the PNC Chicago Bears 5K taking place Saturday, June 25th. Get more information and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. Zach Sabin joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer, as well as former Bears quarterback Jim Miller here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Our phone number is 312-644-6767 is the phone number. There's a lot to be said about the work that gets put in at Halas Hall during the offseason, and understandably, that they're now in phase two. It's all voluntary stuff. But, you know, Tom, Alshon Jeffery's not there. Now, a year ago, he was in a very similar situation heading into the final year of his contract, but there was a new regime in place. And he showed up. He participated in all the voluntary stuff and was having a very good training camp until he got hurt right before the first preseason game. And that led to a bunch of other injuries. Now he's not training with the Bears. He's training down in Florida. Could that affect him, or do you think it'll make him stronger because he still is technically going to be a free agent at the end of this year if he doesn't get a deal done by July 15th?
You know, Zach, when you go through OTAs, but then ultimately you report to training camp, you can see guys, you can watch guys on your own team, you can watch guys within your own position or guys you're playing against. If they honestly prepared themselves during the off season to go through the rigors of a regular season, a guy that's committed to be there 16 games a year, you can see it in their performance. You can see it in their pace at training camp. You can see their desire to run to the water bottle every time they get an instant break to get, you know, hydrated and stuff. So all that stuff is evident. And the fair thing for the Chicago Bears would be for Alshon Jeffery to either be working so hard that he's going to guarantee his team that he is going to be physically prepared to go out there for 16 games. And it will be evident early when they do get together as a team and you start going through these strenuous practices that could be, you know, 85 to 95 degrees. So, you know, that's the commitment you make to your football team. You have to keep the business side out of it because that doesn't affect the other players that want you to be a good teammate, want you to be an important part of the offense. Make sure that Jay has a go-to guy so it can upgrade the opportunities for Kevin White, Zach Miller, and every one of the guys that touch the football in this offense. It is going to be evident, and I just hope that he is committed to the work effort that's needed in order to be the player that he is going to be expected to be when training camp begins.
Jim, you talked about competition earlier along with Tom, and I think in addition to competition, you know, the ability to get a big payday is a valuable motivator. So from that standpoint, you would have to think that even though Jeffery isn't with the team at this particular time, that he is putting in the work in order to put himself in a position, because these opportunities don't come often where you can cash in and get a big contract. And eventually, he can put himself in an opportunity to do that if he goes out and has the kind of season via the kind of training he needs to be on the field for 16 games.
Yeah, and it, as Tom mentioned, it'll be evident early. You know, how much work has he done within the offense, learning, you know, it's the second year of basically this Adam Gase, now Dow Logan's offense. How much work has he done from that standpoint? It's just not all physical and staying healthy for Alshon Jeffrey. You know, that's fine. He can stay away and do his things, but it will show itself. And, you know, I go back in time. When I was in Pittsburgh, we had a rookie minicamp, a veteran minicamp, and then we showed up for training camp. You know, so the veterans were there, like Greg Lloyd, Rod Woodson, Carno Lake, all those guys, and they took care of their business. There is no doubt about that. But, you know, the guys that didn't, it will show itself. And for him, he's got great motivation, obviously, to earn what could be a big contract for him. But for me personally, I would like to be throwing with Jay Cutler. I'd like to be installing the plays that the Bears are installing, because that's new from his standpoint as well. So he'll be there probably at the vet mini camp. The Bears coaching staff and players will be able to evaluate him, and then come training camp, it'll show itself if he's ready to roll, or you know, a series of unfortunate incidents happen again.
Two of the biggest storylines from this point forward till the beginning of the regular season going to be the development of the first-round draft pick Leonard Floyd and last year's first-round pick Kevin White. When it comes to Floyd, Tom, when you look at him right now, before they put the pads on, what do the Bears need to see that will give them the confidence that he's progressing at the level that he needs to progress to be an impact player at the NFL level in year one?
You know, if he has the speed in which they drafted him for, and then he's able to combine the use of his length to stay away from offensive linemen, and then his incredible ability to bend a taller body to get low and get around that corner, if you see the natural things that you're expecting of him, and you saw with all the testing that you went through, and now it starts to compute in a football way. Does he have discipline at the line of scrimmage when the quarterback is yelling out a hard count? Does he have the ability to come out of his stance low and not show his height immediately, so he can win the game as leverage? So he can win the game of leverage rather than having the offensive lineman win it. If you see all the traits of a pass rusher, that you know that man, when he has, you know, 150 rushes, the 200 rushes throughout the season, you're going to really see his progress get started. And, you know, it's what is the superior trait in which you drafted him for? And if that shows up, you're going to be really encouraged every time you get to get him coached. Coach Clint Hurd and the rest of the linebacker coaches, when they get a chance to get in their ear, when the other veterans around the team get to spill over some of their knowledge, when they're watching tape of specific pass rush moves or offensive linemen and the traits that you can see out of them before the ball's ever snapped. It's all those types of things that you're going to judge his development on. But, Zach, There's so many things you have to look at, and that's the great thing about everyday evaluation from training camp, is you get to watch the tape and see where you're improving or you need areas of improvement.
Now, Jim, Kevin White was drafted to be a game changer. He's healthy now. You heard from Ryan Pace. There is no doubt in his mind that Kevin White can be an elite level player, but, you know, let's take a look at the reality of it. This is a guy who did not have a lot of experience at West Virginia running different route trees. You know, he just used his speed and took advantage of it and put up monster numbers. And yes, that speed will transfer over to the NFL, but, you know, you're facing the best defenses in football, defensive backs that are going to try and take him out of what he does best. What do they need to see out of Kevin White during the offseason? What does he have to work on, especially since he had an entire year last year of sitting in the classroom and digesting the offense?
Well, I think for him is just getting over the first hurdle, you know, getting out on the field and can I physically do it? And he's going to have to cross that hurdle in the first game that he's in there where he truly gets physically tackled, you know, and I do think the confidence is a big part of that when you come back from injury. But knowledge within the offense, knowing his assignments, he should be ahead of the game right now because he's got a year of introduction and how other players were doing it, plus what they expect of him at the position. He's grown. He's a year more into coverages. He probably hasn't seen the coverages at West Virginia, what was thrown at him last year, even in a classroom setting for him to learn, watching tape, digesting it, and how certain defenses will play. And then I think, you know, truly his traits alone meaning the speed, height, weight that he is, because he is a physical specimen now as a wide receiver, there will be adjustments that he's going to have to make as the year goes along. You know, if his speed, if he's able to get past defensive backs where he now becomes a coverage dictator, and then the adjustments will have to be made from Kevin White's standpoint. You know, always, as always for a player, being coachable, whether it's the receiver's coach, the communication with Jay Cutler, hey, I need you to come out a little bit skinnier on your break on this particular play, and be able to accept that and utilize that knowledge that it's there to make him better. So I've got high expectations for him. He's got a year into the playbook. Now it's, let's see if he can physically put it out there on the field.
And we're
hey,
not
Jim,
really...
I got one more just to amplify on that. Because, you know, Jim, we just talked about the importance of Alshon Jeffrey, what he's doing in the offseason, so he's even more important on the field. Can you kind of explain to the people, if Alshon out there is considered the Bears' number one receiver, and then you have Kevin White who receives the second cornerback on any team, there's a difference between the second cornerback on a lot of teams, and that's
right.
going to be able to help Kevin White, because I'm sure he drew the best cornerback in whatever college game he played in. Now NFL level are very good, but if you can get that second guy, because Alshon's having a year, that's what's really going to help him also. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I believe every game should be game plan specific. You know, there are games where probably Alshon is going to be the number one target, depending on the coverage that they're presented. And then if teams start to react to Alshon, you've got to be able to adapt at the offense, say, you want what? We're going to start working at Kevin White's way or the tight end's way. And, you know, to me, when teams are game plan specific and are able to react to attack weaknesses of the opponent, you know, every week maybe a different guy should be the key guy who's getting the most receptions or getting the most targets, so to speak. But you got to be able to react to what you're being presented defensively. And if one guy's being productive and is the hot hand, defenses are going to start to react to that. And then that's maybe when Kevin White or Zach Miller or one of the running backs can step up and start to make plays in the running game. And that's really how an offense should be, you know, game plan specific week in and week out, and be able to adjust.
And we saw Adam Gase do that last year. We'll see what Dowell Loggins is able to do this year, be game plan specific. But it all starts with that offensive line. You can't escape it, because if the Bears are able to dominate the line of scrimmage, then you're able to run the ball, you suck people in, and then you can use those threats that you have, those basketball players that you can throw the ball to. Guys, another hour in the books.
Man.
Thank you so much.
It
was a good show. Yeah.
All right, Zach. Good
thanks
to be with
to
you,
Ryan Pace. Thanks to Jim Miller. Thanks to Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Thanking you for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by FanDuel, MasterCard, and Verizon.